This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Horse people, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 29th, 2013, episode 734.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Yes, sirree, folks, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds, email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line, and then listen on Friday. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will precede the presentation of the following fantastic prizes. From Uncle Jimmy's, the Uncle Jimmy's Gift Pack. With Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, licky things, and squeezy buns, you'll always have boredom busted and rewards fresh at hand. Uncle Jimmy's products are all made with quality ingredients with the flavors your horse wants most, like peppermint, apple, carrot, molasses, and even sugar-free varieties. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at uncle-jimmys.com. And from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. Rounding out the prize pool this week, from Dr. Rose's Remedies, the gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment and salve are all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. That pretty much covers it all. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for the treatment of scratches, abrasions, cuts, and scrapes. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack retailer, and if they don't carry it, ask them to. Dr. Rose's is a small company, and they're easy to work with for your local tack store. If you live in one of those places that requires a 3-hour drive to the nearest tack store, you can also find Dr. Rose's Remedies online at drrosesremedies.com. Now, sit back and enjoy this brand mash of previously aired laugh-inducing lists gleaned from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Well, thank you, Jamie. You know, this is my first Crappy List Wednesday for 2012, and I thought it was appropriate that I do lists. You know, this time of year, they always come out with all the lists of the top things of the previous year. Well, I thought this would be the last chance I get to do that. So I have three of them. They'll go pretty quick. But three of the best of 2011 for you. And you might ask, well, why do we do this? I don't know. It sort of started a couple months ago on Wednesdays when I needed a break from talking about horse stuff because I'm just a horse husband. So this is for all you horse husbands out there. We take a little break on Wednesdays and we talk about other stuff we deal with in our lives because we all do deal with other stuff. Well, one of the things that we deal with in our life and we talk about all the time here on the show is movies. We like to go see movies, so we talk about movies. And I have the top 10 grossing movies. Now, this is in the United States, and I think the United States and Canada, for 2011. And I want to see, Jamie, how many of these movies you have seen, because I can tell you on this list, I think I have seen one of them.
That'd probably be none.
Two of them. I saw two. But what's interesting about this is seven out of the top ten are movies that that are either remakes or the second or third or fifth or twelfth of them.
Sequels.
Sequels. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So the number 10 movie this year, believe it or not, was Captain America, the First Avenger. I want to know if there's any horse person at all listening to this show that saw Captain America, the First Avenger. And if there was, I guarantee you they were drugged there by their husband or boyfriend. I'm a geek and I didn't see that movie. Number 9, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I kind of want to see that. Jennifer didn't want to see it, so I got to catch that in video. Did you see that one?
That's the one you'll go to see with Chad, because he still talks about wanting to see that, and I never wanted to go, so we never went. I'm horrible.
A lot of people say it was a great movie, but I liked the whole first. You were probably too young to catch the whole first Planet of the Apes series, right?
I remember it, and I remember it being very scary. I was terrified of the talking monkeys, and I think that it damaged me as a child, and that is why I did not want to go as an adult. I get too scared. And yeah.
All right. Tell Chad to fly his jet on over, and we'll go see it. Number 8, Thor. I'm just not into those movies at all.
No.
Not into the Thor-type movies. Number 7, Cars 2. We loved the first Cars, and we never got to see Cars 2, so we're going to have to check that on DVD now.
Nope, never saw it.
Never saw it. Number 6, I was never into these race car movies, Fast 5, into street driving fast race cars, one solid race scene from the beginning to the end of the movie. Didn't see the first one, didn't see that one. That was a sequel, I assume.
Oh, my God. How did you not see that? I totally love movies about cars and stealing and just drugs and gangs and violence. I love that.
You went to see Fast Five?
No.
Now, wait a minute. No. Wait. You love movies about fast cars and drugs
I don't.
Gangsters.
No.
But you're scared of CGI monkeys?
Jennifer, no, pick up the sarcasm there, hon.
Okay.
No, I don't love movies about cars and drugs and gangs and violence and driving fast and souping up cars. That's definitely not me. I can't believe you bought that. Go ahead.
you were pretty convincing there for a minute. Number 5 on the list of the top 10 grossing movies of 2011, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tide. We did see it. We have seen every Pirates movie. I just love the. I love suspending reality and going watch the Pirates movie. I love it.
I never saw it, but I do like the Pirates movies.
But you didn't see that one. You got to see that. It was pretty good. All right, number 4, The Hangover Part 2, which I saw The Hangover Part 1, absolutely loved it, fell on the floor laughing, but I never got to see The Hangover Part 2, and I heard that it was just not as good.
Oh, I saw that one. I did go see that one. And the thing is, I think we went to see it on Valentine's Day, and it was definitely not a
good
movie.
There's a chick flick for you.
Yeah. Maybe it was our anniversary. It was our anniversary, and he takes me to Hangover 2. And I swear, I saw more male genitalia in that movie than I have seen ever. And more than I ever need to see in my entire life. Oh, it was really gross. Don't go see it. It was bad.
Okay. We won't see it. And Jennifer just said, second Hangover is never as good as the first.
Amen, sister.
The third biggest grossing movie, 2011, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1. We were with somebody, and I never got into that particular vampire. That is chick flick vampire women's movie. I talked to somebody over the holidays, a guy who was drugged there, I can't remember who was drugged there by his girlfriend to see this, and he said he could have just killed himself by the end of the movie. He was thinking about just jumping down the steps and...
Oh, I thought you were... I was waiting for the story to be like, oh, and he really liked it. No.
No.
My mom went My mom went to see all three of those movies by herself because her husband wouldn't go.
Bartman. Bartman. You know who's a big Twilight fan is Helena. She loved that stuff.
Never saw it. Never got into it.
Yeah, she lived for it. Number two, I never got into this particular series of movies either. Transformers Dark of the Moon was actually number two with $352 million. I'd never... Nope.
No.
And one,
I just realized I need to get out more is what I'm realizing. But what's number one?
Number one was one that we saw, I think, the second day after it was out because we were waiting, was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Of course, that was the final Harry Potter movie in the series, so everybody that was a Harry Potter fan had to see it immediately. And we did, and now everybody lives happily ever after in the world of enchantment.
I'm glad you didn't spoil it for me because I haven't seen the movie yet, but I did read all the books. So,
I think you have an idea.
You didn't ruin it too much for me there. So, hey,
well, you know
before
what?
You get in, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to finish up on that. They built the world of, what's it called down at Universal Studios in Florida? The Harry Potter land.
Is it like Hogsmeade, Hogwarts?
It's the whole city, and they have all the little shops, and they have a little shop where you can go buy a wand and all that stuff, and it's a whole section of the park that's devoted to Harry Potter, and they built the school and everything. It is so popular, and the lines are so long that Universal announced a couple weeks ago that they're now going to build one at the park in California. It has been so popular. It's an all-immersive thing where you go in and you're in the world of Harry Potter. So that's the newest thing in theme parks coming out. And Jennifer and I are going down to cover some driving in Florida in March, and we're going to try and get over to see that. So that should be fun.
Awesome. That'll be a good time. Jennifer just typed to me, what the heck is Butterbeer? It's butterbeer.
Yes.
It's a magic beer, okay? And it tastes buttery, and it probably would be delicious, and it sounds awesome, and I've always wanted some.
All right, let's take a look at now, and I would be interested to see, too, just like the movies, how horse people differ from the rest of the world, because I have the list here of Amazon's best-selling products of 2011. And after I looked over the list, I went, wow, we are different than the rest of the world because there's only a couple things on this list that I think that I know anybody has bought. So let's take a look at that. These are 2011 top sellers by number sold at Amazon. I always wondered what their biggest sellers were. Well, here it is. In electronics, you would think it would be the iPad, right? Isn't that what you would guess?
Yeah.
It was not. It was the new Kindle Fire. They've sold more of those than any other thing in the electronics store there, the Kindle Fire. I saw one of those over the holidays, and it looks pretty cool. It looks like a fun little toy. Toys, I would have thought it would have been one of the old staples, you know, maybe Lincoln Logs or something like that. Nope, it was Rory's Story Cube. And having kids, I have no idea what that is. Video games. Call of Duty, and I could have guessed that. It's one of the most popular video games ever. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 came out this year. Sold. Do you realize that video games now sell more than movies do? They make more money in gross sales in the first 2 weeks of selling the popular video games than any of the movies out there, which is why...
Do you realize that most people that are listening to this show don't even know what the heck Lincoln Logs are?
Okay. That might be true.
Choking hazards for children. Okay, they don't sell those anymore.
You know what my favorite game as a kid was? We had, and I don't know, you're probably not going to remember this either, but they came in a metal case, and you opened it up, and it was like an Indian fort, where it was where you played cow, and you had all the little Indian figures and cowboys, and you set up the little fort. I remember that more than any other game we had. Indian fort.
Was that kind of like sold together with the My First Chemistry Set?
Yeah,
you're like
pretty
100.
Much. And you know, the chemistry sets back then didn't do anything. You couldn't do crap with those chemistry sets back then.
you just pour some of your mom's bleach in there and mix it up with the chemicals they came up with. You'd have some excitement, okay? I never had that, but I've seen it on TV.
Well, I'll tell you, I remember, this is how old I am, and a few people in the audience are going to relate to this. My older brother had a kit. Our first color TV was by Heathkit, and that's a name that a couple of you will remember, Heathkit. And it was actually a kit you bought, and he bought this kit, I'm sure it was thousands of dollars, back in the early 70s, and he built the entire 27-inch TV, came in all the little pieces, he soldered it all together, and that was our first color TV set back in the early 70s, was from one my brother built from Heathkit.
That what? I have never heard of that crap in my entire life. Your brother did build a color TV. He must have built a TV stand. No, did not happen.
Nope. I'm telling you, that was good. I'm telling you, somebody's going to post on Facebook that you're wrong. You wait.
Glenn will
pipe in that you're wrong, guaranteed. One of these people out there, one of my guys out there, has built something from Heathkit. And Heathkit just went out of business recently. Home and Kitchen, the Cuisinart Smart Stick 200-watt Immersion Hand Blender was number one, kind of random. Books, guess on the books. Top book of 2011.
The top book of 2011, Black Beauty.
Maybe the top book of 1811, but not 2011. Steve Jobs was the top book. I do own that, so that's one of the things on here I bought. The top Kindle book is The Help. You know, I never saw the movie and didn't read the book. There might be some out there who have seen The Help or read it. How about the top song? Amazon MP3 download this year. Guess who it's by?
Oh, my God. It's either Katy Perry or Lady Gaga.
You're absolutely right. Born This Way by Lady Gaga. Are you a Gaga fan?
Are you kidding me? No. I like Jared Rogers and Tim McGraw and, you know, the Indigo Girls. Not so much a big fan of Lady Gaga, but she does have some catchy songs. Tonight, baby. I mean, they're catchy. You can't, like, turn them on and hate them, but you can't really. I'm not a purchaser of the Gaga material.
Me either. I'm not a big Gaga fan. First of all, I couldn't stand looking at her that long if I watched the videos. Oh, my God, Jennifer found it. On Facebook, she posted a picture of the fort I used to own as a kid. Oh, my God. The one I was just talking about, and that's the exact one.
Isn't it amazing we're not dead? I mean, seriously, the pieces and parts that I am seeing in this fort, you could have choked on, stabbed yourself with, put your eye out, you could have stepped on it, broke your leg, rolled your ankle, any sort of things like that you could have done with this particular kit. I mean, there's sharp edges, there's plastic pieces, and here we are every day going, oh, you can't serve that to give that toy to 8-year-olds. Trust me, I had the worst time shopping.
Oh, you're going to love this. You are going to love this. I'm going to add to it because one of the things we used to do was we used to set up all the pieces. You'd set up all the cowboys. And then you used to take the Indians with your slingshot that your parent bought you when you were about two, and you used to take the pieces and you used to get about 20 feet across the room, and you used to shoot the Indians at the fort to see how many of the cowboys you could knock over.
Oh, my God. You're racist, too. It's breeding racism.
Yeah, I guarantee they don't sell those anymore.
This is like, along with your first chemistry set, this is where they gave you the wood-burning kit, too, right? And then you just, like, torch the little Indians and then set fire to your mom's curtains, that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it.
you're kind of old.
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of old. I admit it. All right, now, real quick here, I'm just going to go down the list, and you could probably guess this. Everybody in the audience can guess this. What were the top? I just lost it. Where'd it go? Here it is. The top-selling iPhone applications this year. And everybody can guess what the number one iPhone application is, but I'll run down the list here. Number 10, Plants vs. Zombies. Number 9, Doodle Jump. I'm sure you have both of those on your phone.
No.
Number 8, Camera Plus. That is a nice little app. If you haven't looked at that, Jamie, and you take a lot of pictures with your iPhone, you ought to look at that.
All right.
Number 7, Words with Friends, which, of course, we're going to get an update on our Words with Friends game a little later in the show. Number 6, Angry Birds Rio. Number 5, Tiny Wings. Don't have any idea. Number 4, Cut the Rope. Number 3, Angry Birds Seasons. Number 2, Fruit Ninja. I'm sure you have Fruit Ninja on your phone. And the number 1, of course, you can probably guess, is Angry Birds. So Angry Birds has the 3 out of the top 10.
Wow. That's insane. I wonder, so does it say how many people have purchased in 2011 Angry Birds, period, just the regular one?
Well, the company that makes Angry Birds, I can give you does not have that here, but the company that makes Angry Birds was just valued at something like $5 billion.
Oh, my gosh. I just know that, like, I bought, if like a million people bought it, that's $1 million. Plus $2 million if everybody paid the extra 99 cents to get the eagle that'll come down and smash all the little pigs that you couldn't get, which you have to have the eagle on a couple boards, otherwise you pull your hair out. It was a good 99 cents.
There you go. We know what you have on your phone.
Yeah, I get, I haven't even been on my Facebook on my iPhone in forever because I'm too busy playing Angry Birds and Words with Friends. It's really bad. It's bad.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with 2 N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
All right, so yesterday was not the best day that I've ever had. One of my horses was colicky. Edward was crazy because they haven't been turned out because we irrigated the pastures. It was just one of those really tough days. But my last lesson that I had to teach of the day was there are two children. One is 6 and one is 7. So needless to say, this is an exhausting lesson. So I'm out there. I'm helping them get all packed up. I'm running around like crazy. Their parents are there because everybody's in town for, it seems like, the holidays. They're military, too. So their families are in town. There's probably 15 people standing at my house by the wash racks where the kids getting the horses tacked up. And, you know, I told you guys last week that I had a chicken taken by a hawk, and I actually saw the hawk sitting on my chicken, eating my chicken. Like, it was very devastating. I had 10 girls. They're my pets. But there's one who is my favorite, and that is Happy the chicken that I rescued from the boa constrictor at the pet store. Do you remember that?
Yep, Happy the chicken. I remember Happy.
Happy the chicken.
Happy hangs out with you all day.
Yes, Happy hangs out with me. I carry her around like a purse, like a designer dog, okay? This chicken, I carry her around. She falls asleep. She dangles in my arms because she falls asleep when I'm carrying her around. I teach with her. I hold her all the time. She is my favorite. She's also very small. She's a mixed breed, so she's like a bantam. She probably weighs like maybe a pound. So she's a very tiny little Happy chicken. You guys, seriously, since the hawks have come and taken my last chicken or eaten my last chicken on my property, Stella, I have not let the chickens out unless I am there. Unless I'm standing there, because I've seen the hawks at my house, and then I drive up, they fly away. So I've seen these little a-holes, and I keep an eye on them. So I only let the chickens out when I'm out doing stuff, like in that area. If they get too far away, I call them to come back. I'm standing out there with 10, 15 people, horses, kids, people running around like crazy. I swear to you, 15 feet from me, Happy standing there on the ground, and a bloody hawk dives down up the tree and picks her up.
No.
So grabs her. Now, let me tell you a little something about Mama Bear, okay? I chased a hawk with my chicken in her claw.
Oh, no.
And of course, I look crazy because these people were all facing me, and I'm facing towards the tree because I'm about to walk out with their kids and ponies. Nobody saw this happen, but all of a sudden I'm like, hey, come over here.
Oh,
I
no.
I don't know where the adrenaline sprung into action, where I developed masterful Olympic speed like that, but I took off after that hawk. It grabbed her. By the time it landed its talons on her, I was 6 feet away. And I'm like, hey! And I start running. At some point, I picked up a boot. I had my big rubber boots out. I picked up a boot, and I throw the boot at the hawk. Guess what happens? It drops my little happy chicken right in front of me, totally unharmed. Yay!
My God. Oh. Well, you got lucky on that one, didn't you? Wow.
I had the worst freaking day yesterday. I just, now I don't know what to do. I'm like, she's living in the house. That's it. I'm like, we're done. She is coming in the house.
Can you litter box train a chicken?
You know what? I would die trying. This is my little baby, okay?
It's good you were there.
Oh, can you believe that it drops down out of the tree directly in front of all of those people? No fear. After I threw the boot at it, which of course I missed, but it flew up to the fence that was probably 20 feet away and stared at me like, I'll get you. I'm coming for it.
It dropped the chicken because you scared the crap out of it.
I know. But then it was like, it was like stalking me. It's stalking me. I'm not kidding you. These hawks, it's a pair. It's the same exact pair that took Stella. I cannot take it. I don't know what to do. I'm not a violent person. I don't even know how to shoot a gun, but I'm going to carry one. You watch out.
You know what this means? You're going to have to get your husband out there with some tools, and he's going to have to build you a chicken enclosure that's completely covered with chicken wire so that they have an area to roam and they're safe.
Well, I have one of those, but it's only the size of a horse stall. And I understand that we're quite lucky. Our chickens are quite lucky because they do have that much room. But they're used to having
three acres.
No.
I think you're going to have to do a whole acre pasture that way with the chicken wire.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I think we should do that. I think you're totally right.
Yeah, you get him right on that, okay?
Okay. You know what? That. After I start crying as much as I did after telling him the story last night, he may do it. Seriously? Might as well.
He just bought all the chicken wire in Arizona yesterday.
And I am a pregnant, emotional woman, and Mama Bear instinct is very high in me right now. I almost leapt up in the air and grabbed that hawk by the ankle.
I want to know what the people did that were watching. Did they let you teach their children after that, or did they just quietly say, you know, I think we had something else we forgot about. We're leaving now.
You know what's bad? I was meeting, like, their grandparents for the first time, and I'm like, come on, nice to meet you. And I was running after this hawk. They were like, I mean, of course, once they turned around, they saw the hawk drop it. So at least they didn't think I was just some psycho woman chasing after birds, grabbing chickens, you know. Like, I mean, everybody knows that this little happy chicken is my favorite little pet, you know. It's like I said, I carry it around. It fits on my shoulder. It's weird. It's an unhealthy chicken-to-human relationship is what it is.
You talk about me liking Jeff Dunham, who plays with puppets. You play with live chicken. I mean, what's the difference?
I know. It's a huge difference. I'll stick my hand up her butt, okay?
You would if you could.
If I had to, I would.
Well, I'm glad that Happy's okay. I really am.
Thank you. It was a because very traumatic day.
I would hate to see you if something happened to Happy. I'm really telling you, he's got to enclose an acre. And he's got to make it tall enough that the horses can still go out in the paddock. So
he is so stressed out about this now. He's like, he does not know what I'm going to do to myself if something gets this chicken. Like, I will lose my mind. So it's a bad, I found this little chicken and he realized that, like, we love each other. He's like, this is going to end very poorly. This is a really bad idea. Really bad idea. I want you to set yourself up now for understanding that we live in places where coyotes and hawks are prevalent and you have a tiny chicken.
And snakes. Let's not forget big snakes. Let's throw those
exactly
in there. Yeah. Well, Jamie, last week we played the 10 worst Christmas songs on the radio this year, and I got a lot of comments from people about how much fun they thought that was. But one of them said, you know, you shouldn't leave on a negative note because we were, you know, it was a pretty negative show. We were talking about all the crappy Christmas songs there are. So they said, why don't you do the top Christmas songs? So I found, put out by the Radio Association or some such organization, the 10 most played Christmas songs on radio this year. So I thought we would see if we agree with any of these. So, and then we picked out our favorite Christmas songs, which I got to say was tougher than picking the crappy ones. Picking the favorites of things is always tougher. I don't know why. You have more favorites, I think. You know which ones you hate, but you kind of like a lot of them, you know? So it's tough.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Here is number 10 on the list of the most played Christmas songs on radio this year. And
Can I just tell – let me just preface this by saying that this is actually a list from this year. Okay, current year of 2012, this is not a list from 1927.
You might think that when you hear them.
Yeah. I know.
I was surprised too, actually. Here we go. First one takes a stick. Here we go.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph?
Yep, that's right, Rudolph. Now, that was the one they specified was the original Gene Autry one. And this has been remade by how many people, Jamie? 1,000?
Without a doubt.
But the Gene Autry one apparently is still the favorite. And, you know, this must also be the list that they play in every store you go into in the mall, because these are the songs you hear endlessly in the stores in the mall. So that must be favorites
now,
as well.
I'm looking up right now when Gene Autry recorded these songs, because Gene Autry was a very famous cowboy. But it was a really long time ago that his movies were 1934 is when he started making movies. So this is really an older song. I would probably say from maybe 1950 at the latest. Now, let's go 1948.
Well, in 2 years, Jamie, guess what show you're going to be watching every Christmas?
Uh-oh.
You know, you're going to be watching this every Christmas for 10 years while your child is growing up.
Oh.
It's Rudolph for you coming up, Jamie.
I'll take it. That one's cute. The little claymation Rudolph when he can't find it, loses it, trying to cover his nose up and all that. That was really cute. I don't mind. I'm going to embrace the whole, like, Christmassy thing with the kids. But right now, I'm not listening to these radio stations because I don't have to.
How about that? You know, the one that's kind of disturbing that I always thought was kind of disturbing as far as the, you know, the little things that kids watch every year around Christmas time is Frosty. He dies every year. Every year he dies. Kind of disturbing when
they,
you think about it.
They buried him in Pet Cemetery, and so he comes back every year.
Now the next one, number 9 on this list.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. That also has to be about the same time as Gene Autry, doesn't it?
Actually, I looked this one up. That was 1963. And you know what? It's funny. Every time I go Christmas shopping, I hear that song in the store.
I think it's a staple. You know, do you think that they get a residual still for every time it's played in a store across America?
You bet your butt they do if they signed a decent contract at all, and they are living large. Have you ever seen the movie About a Boy? It's Hugh Grant. His father wrote a famous Christmas song, and he's like a trust fund baby for the rest of his life.
Do you know the guy who did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? I heard him interviewed last year. He has lived off of that ever since.
Oh, no doubt.
That's a sole form of income, that song. Well, the next one, Jennifer's going to shoot herself. I think she probably just went to the bathroom. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Jennifer's That was the end of that song. Anybody have any guesses what that was?
Play it. Let's play it. We got to play it. Go ahead.
Let's see. I don't know if she's going to interrupt me again.
You got to let it go. Suck it up. Oh, God, that's awful. You stop it.
You asked for it. Yeah, that's the Drummer Boy by the Harry Simone Orchestra, Little Drummer Boy. You can probably avoid that one. Maybe your son won't be interested in the Little Drummer Boy, and you get away with not watching it.
There's no way I'm letting him have that. Little Drummer Boy in 1965. But, oh, that was the new version in 1965. The original one was done, I believe, in 1960. So he revamped it in 65. I don't know what version we're hearing. Probably the revamped one.
I'd be interested to hear the next one, that number 7 on the list. Look that one up a while, because I don't know what year this was. I don't think it was too old, but maybe it is.
God, it's gone. Oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing a bushel of fun. Now the jingle.
And of course,
you know
that jingle rock.
Yeah, Bobby Helm, do you know the people every year, brand new artists every year come out with Christmas albums? Every year. Why exactly do we not play any of those? Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helm was written and recorded, or at least recorded, in 1957.
I think it sounded like a 50s tune. It did sound like a 50s song. Yeah.
Ugh, awful.
Well, we're going back in time with number 6.
Yeah, even older.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Tell me you don't hear that when shopping.
The fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go.
Of course, that's Let It Snow by Andy Williams. That's probably 60s.
Let's see. This one's not giving me the date as easily. I'm going to have to find it here. So talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Yeah, Let It Snow by Andy Williams. I don't know, Jennifer, do you like old songs? Do you like that one? Or?
Not that version, but yes, I like Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I do a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not
it was definitely not 2011, sorry, which is when it was uploaded to YouTube. Who would upload that to YouTube? Why? Why did this person, La LaRue, decide that Andy Williams' song, Let It Snow, needed to be uploaded to YouTube? I don't know. You need a life.
See, now, it used to be that Let It Snow was something that was a possibility in our lives. Jennifer, that's just a fantasy now. It's 75 degrees today. Yeah. Number 5, White Christmas by Bing. By the way, we are warmer than you today, aren't we, Jamie?
I don't know. What's your temperature today?
We're going to hit almost 80 today.
Oh, yeah. You're warmer than us. We're having a cold snap. It's like 65.
Here's number 5 on that list. Another brand new song right out of the track.
I
Jennifer likes it.
Of a white Christmas.
Jennifer likes that one. If I want to have a happy weekend, I can play that one. It works every time.
You know what? 19. Guess the year. Guess the year. 19-something.
42.
Ooh, it's way newer than that. 54.
Really? Now, the next one, we're getting a little closer in time. You know, we are, sort of. This is the next one. This is the 10 most played Christmas songs on radio this year. This is number 4. I can honestly say I don't think I've heard it on radio.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Jennifer says they don't play this one as often because it's a higher royalty because Bruce Springsteen recorded it.
That's why they play all the old ones.
That's free. So, Jamie, that's newer. That's got to be 70s.
Probably I would go with early 80s. Early 80s. Maybe. And again, that's still over. Now, let me just paint a picture for you people. That's over 30 years old. 30. Yeah,
oh, that's
years.
Kind of hard. That's making me feel old now.
Right? I feel old, too.
Number 3 on this list.
This one ranks up there with that George Michael song.
Next case, I'll let it go. It almost sounds like it's recorded in slow motion, doesn't it? Like they recorded it and then they slowed the track down and put it on the record.
Let me tell you how they recorded that, because this is the year 1987. Casio keyboard, okay? It's awful.
That's the Eurythmics. God, whatever happened to them? Is this their one-hit wonder? Do they have any other one-hit wonder, any hits?
Isn't the Eurythmics Annie Lennox? I mean, she has some other songs, didn't she? Is that Annie Lennox? I don't think so.
Yeah,
maybe.
They didn't have
much else.
That's for sure. Next one. Number 2.
Have yourself.
You can imagine yourself shopping in fear right now.
I feel like I'm at the Gap.
Yep. Of course, that's the Pretenders. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That has to be 60s.
I don't know. That one, I don't know that one at all. I didn't even recognize that song, that version of that song.
Yeah, it's the Pretenders. That's been around forever. And then the number one song, and I'm going to say that there probably has been more babies conceived at Christmas time while listening to this particular song than any other.
Really? I'll be the judge.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols.
Nat King Cole and the Christmas song. That's number
that
one.
Was that's really his voice is amazing. I got a little buttery when I heard that. And again, would you like to guess the year?
It's got to be 60s again.
Let's just say that he started recording in 1946. 46.
Well, you know, you could definitely call these songs standards. That's for sure. Every year, Christmas, they're definitely standards. But Nat King Cole, don't you agree that there's probably been more babies conceived by Nat King Cole songs than anybody else?
All right, well, some of these were not so bad. Most yeah, most of these were awful. But now I want to hear what you guys chose, because I have a sneaking suspicion that you're going to go one direction that I totally probably disagree with. But I want to hear what you have in store for me,
Jennifer.
That's not a Christmas song.
Yep, Christmas Cannon by Transparent Orchestra.
Cannon G.
That's the Christmas Cannon by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. When you hear that live, as we have about 10 times in concert, it's kind of haunting. The way it's sung, it's just haunting in a stadium. But go ahead.
So, okay, that's a song called Cannon in D, and I know that because I walked down to Mary Chad to that song. So it was walking down the aisle. But they turned it somehow into a Christmas song. It was beautiful.
Yes, they turned it into a Christmas song, and they call it the Christmas Canon. They've taken a lot of their music, they take the old classics, you know, the Bach and Beethoven stuff, and they, you know, kick it up a notch, and that's where it comes from. The next one is my favorite, and you will see a theme here with Jennifer and I. This is my favorite. And that song is Wizards in Winter by Trans-Siberian Orchestra, became hugely popular on the videos of houses being lit up to music. So that became hugely popular years ago with all of those videos you saw of the, you know, lights on houses at Christmas time doing their thing. Well, that was where that became popular. But it is one of my favorites. I picked a second one, though, because I knew it would drive Jamie nuts. And it's one of those, you know how we talked about last week how it's not Halloween until you hear Monster Mash? Remember we talked about that?
Well,
for me, it's not Christmas until I hear this. You know what that is, right?
I you know what? I don't. I don't know what that is.
Don't?
What is that?
That's Snoopy and the Red Baron at Christmas time. Oh, you're going to be watching that one with the kiddo, too. You'll be watching that Christmas special every year, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I definitely think the Peanuts is the way to go raising a child. So I was raised on it, you were, but I didn't know that song. So there you go.
One of my favorites. And now yours. Let's take a listen to yours.
I'm not kidding you. If Bono shows up on television and says, donate here, I give him whatever I have. The man controls me.
That's
it's Bono. Baby, please come home. And he just keeps going, like, baby, please come home. He's just like, bang, he's pleading me to come to his house is what I hear when I hear that song. I'm coming, Bono. I'm trying.
I'll be right there.
I've seen you in concert so many times and you never call me back. I don't understand. Yeah, that's one of the celebrities, actually, that I would never like to meet, because if he was anything less than, like, godlike or zen-like, I would be disappointed. Because to me, he the man walks on water. He's like, oh, here, at whatever cause it is, like, adopt a baby from Africa. I'm like, okay, give me one. Let's go. Whatever
you know, my brother hasn't been to too many concerts in his life, just never was into music all that much. But the one concert they've been to a bunch of times is U2. That's the
one group they've been to a bunch of times. And you're probably right about Bono. So, you know, you're probably right about most celebrities that way, right? You don't really want to get to know them because you'd go, oh, man, it'd be ruined.
They're like real people and stuff.
Yeah. They like get sick and they like have to go to the store and, you know, all that stuff.
He does not go to the store. Let me tell you that right now. Bono does not go to the store.
He probably doesn't cook much either, Bono.
No, the store comes to Bono and says, sir, what would you like?
Well, that's our list. Those are our top Christmas songs, so we don't end on a negative. That's our top Christmas songs of the year, the ones that are played most on the radio. We're going to take a break.
Amazon.com. Admit it, you shop on Amazon.com. Don't be embarrassed, we all do. Well, next time you have a hankering to hit up Amazon for some deals, stop by horsesinthemorning.com first. Click on the Amazon.com link on the left side of the homepage and then shop till you drop. Doesn't cost you a penny, and it helps us keep the lights on here at Horse Radio Network.
But first, you know, you promised us that you would tell us what the most favorite horse names were this past year, right?
Yes, yes. Now, Smart Pack did a list of the top 100 horse names of last year, because when you order a Smart Pack for your horse, it comes with a drawer of its own, and they have, like, your horse's name and on all the supplements, so it never gets confused. So they have a really good idea of how many people use, you know, the same names repeatedly. So I would love to know, do you have a guess on what the number one horse name of 2011 was, Glenn Jennifer?
Well, I would think that if I was to take a guess, you know, if it's draft horses, it's Bob. Bob has to be the number one name in draft horses.
With draft horses.
So Bob's not on the list?
Bob is... I don't see Bob anywhere on the list at all.
How about, if you're talking Western Cowboy, they seem to name their horses Cowboy a lot.
Let me see. Cowboy is number 39 on the list of 100.
Oh.
Jennifer, you've got a guess?
I'm going to go with Winchester.
Winchester? I don't think Winchester made the list. Sorry, Jen.
Okay, I'm going to think of more draft horse names because one of them's got to be on there. We had one called Joe. Joe's always a common name. Joe.
Let's see if Joe is on the list. The answer on the board, ding, 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 number 50, Joe.
Glenn 2, yeah. Jennifer Zip.
Jennifer, yes? Anybody?
I'm going to go Bailey. We have a Bailey at the barn.
Ding, 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 ding. Bailey is number 11, the 11 most common name. So you're actually winning the highest guess so far.
Oh, do I get more points if they're further up the list?
Sure, why not?
Dang.
I'm making this up.
This is better than Words with Friends.
I'm thinking, what other horse names do we have at the barn, Jennifer? I'm trying to think of the other horse names.
I'm not giving you any hints.
We had a horse named, did I do that one already? Danny. Did I do Danny yet? There was
a
horse in our barn named Danny.
Let's see if Danny, ding, 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 number 49. You're hovering around the 50 mark every time.
I'm really
number 49.
In the middle here today. Really in the middle.
Jennifer?
Let's see here. Let's go with Ariel.
Ariel, like the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
That you think is one of the most common horse names.
Well, people tend to name their horses after movie characters. So, yeah, Ariel.
Okay, well, I don't see Ariel on the list.
So much for that theory.
Hey, Laura Gorman checks in with Blue. Her guess is Blue.
Laura Gorman is in the lead because Blue is number 8. Number 8 on the list, Blue.
Wow, anybody good job, else? Laura. And, yeah, Susan Nelson's checking in with Buck.
No,
which is a good guess
Buck.
During the last
That's a really good guess. Let me see if Buck has made the list. I'm scrolling through the names right now. It's kind of hard to sit here and talk and look at the same time. I don't want to screw this up because she'll yell at me if she's not on the list. So I'm scrolling through twice. And sadly enough, I do not see Buck on the list at all.
Well, you know what has to be on the list? Another draft horse named Duke. And Western, common Western name, Duke. It's like
Duke.
Johnny, like John Wayne, the Duke.
Let's see. Duke. Duke is on the list at number 78. Number 78.
Oh, I'm getting worse.
Yeah.
All right, tell us what the top 20 are here. Let's get the top 20.
Okay, number 20, Romeo. Number 20 is Romeo. Number 19,
really?
I cannot believe
Romeo?
Nobody would.
I've never met a horse named Romeo.
I have. I've known like 10. number 19, how could you not guess Lucky? Lucky. How many people have a horse named Lucky? Number 18, Red. That's like the most common name for a chestnut.
Yeah,
number 17.
That's true.
Have you ever owned a horse of this name? Then definitely say it, because I had a horse named Rosie. Number 17 is Rosie. 16,
a
great. Say what, Jen?
We have a Rosie at the barn. I should have guessed that one.
Yeah. And number 16 is a great draft horse named Glenn Jake.
Oh, yeah. We had a dog named Jake.
There you go. Number 15, Teddy.
Oh, I should have guessed that. Theodore. Yeah.
Teddy O'Connor. Love him. Yep. Miss him. Number 14, Charlie. Another draft horse named
Charlie's out there? Really?
Number 14 is Charlie. Number 13, Annie.
Yeah,
never had an Annie.
Had an Annie, yeah.
Yeah, you had an Annie.
Number 12 is funny because my student, when I was trying to name the horses, she's like, you know, she's 15. She's like, I've always wanted to name a horse Starfire. Can we name him Starfire? And I was like, no. But number 12 is Star.
Star, I should have thought of that. There's a lot of kids named their pony Star.
Yeah. Number 11, Bailey. Very common. Yep. Very common. Yep. Number 10 is named Sunny. Every pony named Sunny. Number 9, Cody.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, okay, I can see that. A lot of Western Cody.
Yeah.
Number 8, of course, we're going over the names from Smart Pack of the most popular horse names, the top 100. We're doing the top 20. Number 8 right now is Blue.
Yep, okay.
Number 7, Beau, B-E-A-U.
Oh, no, there you go.
Okay.
Number 6, everybody has a horse name that has had a horse named Chance.
I don't think we've ever had a Chance. We've never had
my friend Lonnie's horse was named Chance. That's all I know it. Number 5, I've had a cat and a dog named Max.
Oh, Max, also another draft horse name.
Yep.
Number 4 comes in with Rocky. Rocky
really?
Is number 4. Yep. I think that one's pretty common, but more for a dog or something. Number three, very common name now for females, Bella.
Oh, I think Bella made it to the top 10 dog names on that list we did last year, too.
I think so. Yeah. Number 2, most common horse name, according to Smart Pack, is Jack.
Oh, there's the most popular. Why didn't I say Jack? Every donkey or every mule in the world is named Jack.
Yeah, and you're going to kick yourself for not thinking of the number one answer. Although Susan Nelson commented again, she has another one, Eli Manning. Eli Manning. And that's not very popular in my household right now as my husband sits next to me, rolling his eyes. Hate Eli Manning. the number one most popular horse name sponsored by Smart Pack Horses, Buddy. B-U-D-D-Y, Buddy. How could you not guess Buddy?
Nuh-uh.
I would have guessed that for dogs, not horses. Everybody, well, our good friend has a dog named Buddy, but have we ever had a Buddy that was a horse?
I've never met a horse named Buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, all you Buddy owners out there, speak up. Let's hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hear from people who named their horses Buddy, because do you know any Buddies?
I can't say that I've ever had a horse named Buddy, but apparently the people at Smart Pack Equine, apparently lots of people with horses named Buddy need supplements, so maybe they're all old.
So does this mean horses with these names are the most unhealthy horses? Is that what this means? Or are they the healthiest horses because they're taking Smart Pack supplements?
You may be right. You may be right, because, you know, horses with the name Misty and the name Henry, they just sound old. Winston, these are all on the list here. So,
you know, I'm surprised how many of them are regular human names. I always make
right.
an effort
there's...
to not name my horses human names, but apparently I'm very much in the minority.
Is Maddox on there?
Yeah, Maddox did not make the list. These are really kind of plain, boring horse names, if you think about it. Rose, Abby, Willie, Andy, Rusty, Grace, Holly, Fred, Willow, Sadie, Scooter, Spirit, Simon, Fair, you know.
Scooter. I like Scooter.
Do you like the name Scooter?
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
Let's.
Well,
that was good. That was good. I like that. That was good.
So,
so I wonder, is this published someplace that we can put a link to it?
Yeah, I will go ahead and send Jennifer the link right now, but I'd be interested to see what everybody thinks about the number one horse name being Buddy. Now you got me mad about it.
Oh, I just don't know any Buddy. You know, I knew a Jack, we've known Maxes, we've known Blues and Toadies and Reds and Jakes, Rosies, but no Buddy. Yeah.
Well, that's the number one horse name. Yeah, I'll send Jennifer the link.
And if my theory is correct, you never want to name your horse Buddy, because he's going to be the most sickly creature you've ever had in your life. Just saying.